holy name of Jesus. Amen. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. If you want it done right, you gotta do it yourself. Well, that's all well and good, I guess. If you want it done right. Because, see, I need to want something done really badly if I'm gonna actually muster up the motivation and willpower to do it myself. Take out the trash? Make the kids do it. Honey, can you preheat the oven while I'm out? Simple enough, not a whole lot can go wrong. Why not ask someone else to do it? Now, what about more important matters? What about the things that we value and the tasks where it is important to take great care with the details? What if your kid doesn't come home when they were supposed to, and you have no idea where he is? Is that a job for someone else? No, of course not. When that happens, your whole existence is consumed with frantic concern for finding the one you care about and bringing them back safe. When you lose something or someone who is precious to you, you'll do whatever it takes. You'll go to extreme measures to find what is lost. And that's exactly what Christ teaches us in this parable from the gospel reading. Jesus himself goes to extreme measures to save us. You see, God is not indifferent toward us, and he doesn't save us begrudgingly. And that's actually a big deal. The reason being, because saving us is no small deal. Saving us cost God effort. Saving us cost God pain. It wasn't a small deal for Christ to set aside his divine power and only work miracles when it was necessary to help and to teach others. It wasn't a small deal for Christ to enter our mess and experience our misery. It wasn't a small deal for Christ to get up close and personal with us. In fact, not only that, but Jesus actually does what we ourselves would never do. We all know of Christ as the Good Shepherd, and rightly so, but in the parables we heard today, what's maybe a little alarming is that Christ is not playing the part of the Good Shepherd, but the better than Good Shepherd. Listen to what he says. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country? Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Normal people don't do that. A good shepherd doesn't leave the 99 sheep unprotected in the open country just to search for one. A good shepherd cuts his losses and goes home. It's only the best shepherd, the perfect shepherd, that forgets about everything else and searches frantically for a seemingly insignificant wanderer. It is only the perfect shepherd who sees. Same thing with the coin. Normal people don't do that. Yeah, we'll search diligently if we lose a paycheck somewhere in the house, but what we don't do is spend that paycheck when we find it by throwing a party for our friends and neighbors just to celebrate finding it. But you know, if you want it done right, you gotta do it yourself. And that's exactly what he did. In fact, what's incredible is that he knew he was going to enter into our midst all along. And he even told us that this would happen centuries in advance through the mouth of the prophet Ezekiel that we just heard from our Old Testament reading. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. But why? Why, at the cost of great inconvenience to himself, did God still save us? God could have given us what we deserve for our sins. He could have. But why didn't he? Well, God goes to such lengths to save us because he cannot help but see what is precious to him. Why would you frantically search for your lost child but not for a quarter? Simple. It's because your child is worth more to you. Your quarter doesn't really matter, but your child means everything to you. You, any of you sitting here, would go to extreme measures to recover your lost child, because your child is precious to you. In fact, not only does God do this same thing and go to extreme measures to save us, but he actually can't help but do so. It's who he is. It is in God's character to show mercy to the undeserving. And rest assured, there's no one less deserving of the shepherd's rescue than the sheep who wandered off on his own. Therefore, repent. Repent of your wandering. Your wandering from God, whatever that looks like for you, places your life, your eternal life, in danger. And it's not just during the time before we were baptized or before we converted to Christianity that we wander from God. The reality is that our old Adam, our old sinful flesh, wants to rip us away from God and entice us into sin the second we let our guard down. Sometimes we let it. So, therefore, indeed, repent of your past wanderings, to be sure, but repent of your present wanderings, too, and your recent wanderings. And as you repent, as you consider your sin, consider also the long-suffering of him who loved you and gave himself for you. This long-suffering, this perfect patience, is not only something we as sinners desperately need, but it's also something that all Christians are told to expect from God. Remember the words of St. Paul. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. As an example to everyone, you, me, and everyone else here, who's ever going to believe in Christ for eternal life, what did Jesus do? He made an example of Paul. He made an example of him not by displaying his wrath for all to see, but by displaying his mercy for all to see. The perfect patience of Jesus gives mercy to the foremost of sinners. The perfect patience of Jesus is for all of us who could just as easily claim that same title, chief of sinners, for ourselves. We may not have worshipped a golden calf or thrown Christians in jail, but we have, as Martin Luther puts it, all daily sinned much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. What we deserve is the opposite of God's patience and the opposite of God's mercy. And yet he gives it to us anyway. Therefore, we Christians need Paul's example. Paul's example where he speaks that I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. The mercy given to Paul is an example that shows how Christ acts toward all Christians. And what is it that we, the chief of sinners, are supposed to expect from our Lord? His perfect patience. Now, what does this perfect patience of Jesus look like? Well, it looks a little something like this. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." What is the Lord like? He's like that, seeking out one lost sheep among many, treasuring the one who turned its back on him and went his own way. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And that day of clouds and thick darkness, well, that was when Jesus died. At the scene of the crucifixion, what happened was darkness fell over the face of the earth. And on that day of clouds and thick darkness, that is exactly when Christ, our perfect shepherd, succeeded. That day, bearing the weight of all our sins upon himself, he lifted us on his shoulders, rejoicing. In agony, yes, but rejoicing nonetheless, because our Lord rejoices to die on our behalf. And he rejoices all the way up from the grave to give us a part in his own resurrection, that we one day may rise too. He rejoices to bring us back into the fold, that one holy Christian and apostolic church that you all just confessed a few minutes ago. And he rejoices to bring us to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And you guys, you get to rejoice too. So do that. Rejoice, for Christ, our shepherd, has found you, O little flock, who once were lost. Amen. Please rise for the offertory.